in the book of Luke and the 23rd chapter. It was a great talent of the preacher C.H. Spurgeon that no matter where he preached, he would make a beeline for the gospel and the cross. And so we come tonight to the place called Calvary for the sake of time. We'll break into the chapter at verse 33. Luke chapter 23 in the verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Amen. And with the word of God open before us, let us look again to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, as we come, O God, to this most solemn, most soul-searching portion of Scripture, O Lord, we pray especially for the enablement of the Holy Ghost, that we might speak not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but that we might preach in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Lord, there are those in here tonight who need to hear the voice of God. So, Lord, as we come now to thy word, help us, O God, to uplift Christ. Help us, O God, to preach as a dying man to dying men and women. And grant, O God, that none might be seen, save Jesus only. For it's in thy name we pray. Amen. Amen. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I would like us, firstly, this evening to give some consideration to the place that is set before us. The place called Calvary. In the original language, it's described as a place of the skull. There's significance in the meaning there. I had the joy and the privilege to go on a tour in the land of Israel, and we came to a place, what is now believed to be the place called Calvary. It's around a bus depot. And there is, as you look into a hill there, the shape, as it were, of a skull. And that, in a sense, has another meaning. It is also a place of death. It was a place outside the city wall where those guilty of crimes were sentenced to die. It was a place of judgment for those who had transgressed the law of the day. But oh, as we come tonight to this place called Calvary, and we see it as a place of death, for it was there that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was nailed to the center tree. But we also see it as a place of judgment. Not that he had done any wrong, but no, it was the place where God himself judged the sins of his people, and his wrath was poured out upon his own beloved Son. It is because of that place called Calvary that we can have peace with God. It has been likened that as Christ was put to death there, that one hand was stretched out towards sinful man and the other to a holy God, that they might be reconciled the one with the other. For he who knew no sin became sin for us. Yes, the place called Calvary was a place of judgment. We are told in the verse 27 that there were a great company that day. They followed Christ through the streets of Jerusalem. There were those who wept. There were those who could not bear the punishment that they knew was ahead of their beloved Savior. And they wept and they wailed. There were those that cheered and revered. There were those that blasphemed and mocked. And as I look out upon each individual face in the congregation tonight, I do not know your heart as to whether if you were there that day, would you have wept or would you have mocked the Savior? Yes, there was a great company there that day. The people there that loved the Lord. There were people there that loathed the Lord. And there were also, we're told, two others. The Bible describes them as malefactors. That is to say, they were criminals. They had broken the law. They had been found guilty. They were being sentenced to death. And we read in the account of the two of them that one was put on the left hand and the one on the right. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Dear friend, if you're in this meeting tonight and you have not got Christ as your Savior, you ought to fear God. You ought to fear God tonight. One mocked him. The two of them were in exactly the same position. I find this remarkable when you consider it. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, who gave his life a sacrifice, who died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And on one hand, you have a mocker and a scoffer and a hater of God, a Christ rejecter. And on the other hand, just a few feet away, you have a man and the reality of death is dawning upon his soul. He begins to see and feel his own mortality. He knows the end is nigh. The one on this hand doesn't seem to realize that he is also finished for this world. And his eyes are blinded, and his ears are deafened to the fact of the world to come. And he can mock Christ with his very dying breath. Oh, tonight, which one are you? You say, "I would never mock the Savior. I would never curse his name. I would never disrespect the Bible." Every time you reject the call to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you mock and sin against the Lord himself. you lay up for yourself wrath in the day of judgment. Oh, tonight are your eyes blind, are your ears deaf to the fact of your mortality? Do you not know that there is coming a day when the Lord Himself will be revealed, when He will judge the world in righteousness, and you shall give an account before Him of those things you have done in the flesh? I remember years ago sitting under the preaching of the Reverend John Douglas, and he described that day as having a screen of every sin that you've ever committed being cast up before you. There's nowhere to hide on that day. Oh, that tonight you might give consideration to your own mortality, that tonight you might get a grasp of the eternal reality that you're not going to live forever, that you will one day die and go to stand before God in judgment. Yes, there were people there, the two malefactors, the soldiers that mocked Him. There is on the verse 34 the great cry or prayer of Christ. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's a wonderful prayer. It was a prayer that fell from the lips of the Son of God while He hung upon the cross, and it was a prayer that was answered. Those centurions said, "Never a man died like this man." Those centurions saw with their very eyes the living Son of Christ dying as a sacrifice. Those centurions were saved by the grace of God in answer to the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. And you and I have one tonight seated in the right hand of the Father on high, ever living to make intercession for us in all of our sin. Oh, why would you not come and receive Him tonight? Why would you not stretch out your hand to Christ tonight and cry as this penitent thief did, "Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom"? We see his plea there in the verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom." You know, there was no great fancy prayer. There was no need for a great doctrinal statement. There was a realization that this man was before the Christ of God. Oh, and it is our prayer tonight, and it has been the prayer of those who gathered this evening, that tonight your eyes might be opened to see the cross of Christ. Because when you gaze there, you will see your sin. You will see the sin that nailed the Savior to the center tree. And that, my friend, will be all you need to have done with your sin. For as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believed in His name. This thief had nothing else to give but a penitent heart, a heart touched by the grace of God, a heart revived, a heart that had the light of the gospel of Christ shone into it. My, have you not such a heart tonight? Your heart has been hardened in sin. Your ears have been deafened. Your eyes have been blinded. But tonight we believe in the sovereignty of God and salvation. And if you are here in this house tonight, under the sound of the Word of God, you are yet in the day of grace. You are yet in the time of gospel opportunity. And there's hope for you tonight to be right with God. Your sins, each and every one of your skin sins, no matter how deep dyed they are, no matter how black and heinous they are as you think upon them, every one of them can be forgiven tonight. You can know peace with God Can I tell you why? Not because you come to a Free Presbyterian church, but because there is a peace when Christ reigns within your heart. There is a peace that God can give you tonight. There is a rest unto your soul tonight. There is a great physician who can heal the sickness and sin that is in your life tonight. That guilt that you feel, he can take it away. I can testify before you tonight in honesty and in sincerity. Before I came to Christ, I knew little or nothing of the gospel. But there was a night, there was a time in my life when I all of a sudden realized, and it was by the grace of God that I realized, I was not good enough for God as I was. And I looked to him in faith. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to say or what to do. I had no biblical background, but I got home and I got my Bible open before God and I came to that portion of Scripture. It was the parable of the lost sheep. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And he saith unto his neighbors when he cometh home, calling them together, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You know, I didn't even really know what repentance was that night, but I repented. I turned my sins over to Christ, and he forgave me. And oh, tonight, if you are that one lost sheep, if you are that one whom the shepherd is seeking tonight, oh, that you would pray, even the simplest prayer of this dying thief, Lord, remember me. Remember me. For there is power and pardon for you because of the Christ of Calvary. Beloved, this is the gospel. Christ died for sinners. And yea, I say, Christ died for you. All who will come, excluding none. The provision is there. The offer is there. There is mercy tonight with the Lord for you. For you whom he calls tonight to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, I trust that the Lord would bless this word to your heart. If you're not saved tonight, it is our earnest desire. We don't want to make you feel uncomfortable or make you feel awkward in any way. But, beloved, we are here tonight for you. If we can point you or help you in any way to get to Christ, then we're here as his servants. If you're here tonight with a friend that knows the Lord, speak to them. Don't leave this matter unsettled. There were two thieves. One died and went to heaven. The other died and went to hell. Praise God, there's grace in the gospel for you to have your sins forgiven.